Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, and we welcome you who are regulars here at Terra, but also those that are new today, visiting, some out-of-town guests. We always get a bunch around this time of year. It's so good to have you here as we take time and concerted effort to make much of the person of Jesus Christ, that we would draw our eyes away from ourselves and onto him. And this is a time of the year which is very important for us as Christians. And today we're going to be taking time to talk about the upcoming season of Advent. So this is a little bit different of a sermon this morning. If you're new with us or you're visiting, this is going to be a little bit different for us as we really prepare intentionally for what it means to be people that wait well and what it means to enter Advent well. And I think we all need to acknowledge this morning, whether we're aware of it or not, that we are all influenced by seasons and by patterns. And this is intentional. So let's take a few minutes as we begin in talking about a liturgical season. Take a minute to think about what are the other liturgies or forms or patterns or structures that shape us and actually transform us. We have liturgies, and I'm going to use that term a lot this morning. All this means is forms, patterns, and structures. Okay, we have liturgies of daily patterns. Okay, so our daily work schedule dictates what time we need to wake up, what time we need to eat, how we dress, all those things. Our weekly schedules of weekend plans, maybe it's the maintenance of your lawn or your different equipment at home. What about the thick and robust liturgy of the NFL season? This is a weekly liturgy. It truly is. What about annual rhythms? Most of us are guided and informed and directed by the school calendar. A lot of us have children, and even if you don't have children, the school calendar really does dictate and guide us in many ways. It tells us when holidays happen. It tells us when vacations happen, okay? Now, this isn't a bad liturgy, but we have to acknowledge that it is something that orders us and guides us and directs us. Now, what about a larger liturgy, a lifetime-long liturgy? We could call this the American Dream, okay? The American Dream is a liturgy about making it in the world. So if we make good choices and we work really hard and we go to school, we learn the information, we regurgitate the information, we get qualified for the job, we make the money, we find security enough to perpetuate the pattern over for our kids, and hopefully we retire comfortably. Now again, this isn't necessarily bad, but we can't pretend that we are not molded and shaped by some of these patterns. And this is not an indictment on education or finances or even watching football, okay? But more so is helping us see that there are patterns in this life that do shape us. Now, many of us here today are Christians. Now, by definition, a Christian is a Christ follower, which means, I hope that it means, that most of us here desire to follow Christ. And I would say that we want our ultimate orientation that dictates our daily, weekly, and yearly life rhythms to be informed by Jesus, by Christ, that we would grow in love for him, be ordered by him, interact with him in the scriptures, and be transformed by the life of Christ throughout the year. So traditionally, the church has tried to do this to inform its members and to ground its members and order its members in the life of Jesus Christ through the scriptures throughout the year. Now, some of you may be aware of some of these seasons. The season we are entering into right now is called Advent. This is our new year. This is the church's new year. It's a season where we prepare and we focus on waiting for Christ. The season of Christmas helps us celebrate the incarnation or the coming in the flesh of Jesus as our Savior. The season after Christmas, Epiphany, is a time that it's called the season of lights. It's a season where we understand that the light of Jesus has come, and we acknowledge that it shines through the darkness into our lives and into the world. And then we celebrate Lent, which focuses us on the coming passion or the coming death of Jesus Christ. It focuses our hearts on repentance and getting right with the Lord. Easter focuses us on the life of Jesus Christ and his defeat of sin and death and brokenness in the world. The season of Pentecost reminds us of the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ poured out on us upon the resurrection and victory over death. And finally, ordinary time is just that. But it helps us remember that even in the daily grind, so to speak, of everyday life, the presence and the power and the life of Jesus is what informs us and shapes us and guides us, even in the everyday things. So the liturgies of these seasons in the Christian calendar ground us through the scriptures, and we study those scriptures as well as sing hymns that help us understand the themes of these seasons, as well as there are various spiritual disciplines that help us enter those seasons well. So in light of this, in light of wanting to be different, countercultural Christian people within this world, we want to take a concerted effort this season of Advent as we start the church season and this year in the church seasons to be changed and informed and shaped and guided by the life of Jesus through these various church seasons. So let's talk about Advent. This is the 4 weeks prior to the celebration of Jesus' birth, the Christ event, the coming of the Messiah. Now, in our context, Advent, especially up until recently, Advent has largely been ignored by our popular culture. Now, Christmas has tended to be not Advent, but Christmas, not Advent, then Christmas, but Christmas has been the expensive, draining season that goes from about Halloween until New Year's. Now, you might be wondering, so some of you, I'm old enough to remember, okay, when like things weren't open on Sundays and like when we kind of paid a little bit more attention to Advent and you didn't hear Christmas music until maybe the 1st of December, okay? You might be wondering why that is. And that case in point, we live in the Western world and the two highest grossing holidays of the year are Halloween and Christmas. So why wouldn't we start celebrating Christmas immediately after Halloween, kind of skip over Thanksgiving, and go right to Christmas? Because it makes a lot of money, okay? But it wasn't always this way, okay? The little history for us this morning. Christmas has pretty much always been celebrated on December 25th. Well, since about the 2nd or 3rd century, based on this ancient speculation, and it's a speculation, that Jesus was conceived on March 25th, so 9 months after would be his birth. Some people, some ancient folks believe that, and that's why we set the date of December 25th for Christmas. Another popular idea was that this was in the early Roman world, and there was a season called Saturnalia around the winter solstice, which used to be the 25th. It's now the 21st, but neither here nor there. The Romans would celebrate this this holiday of the god Saturn. This was on the winter solstice, and it was a multi-day party of fire burning and merrymaking and drinking and feasting. And these things were performed to chase the darkness away. Sound similar a little bit to some of our Christmas traditions? Okay. But whatever the truth is, whether we took the Roman holiday and resurrected it or the other way around, there has been a liturgical season of Advent that's been important leading up to Christmas, but only since around the 4th century. A little bit more history. Hang on with me, okay? I think this is significant and important. There was a church council of Saragossa, modern-day Portugal, Spain, a group of church fathers to gather to address a heretical movement called Priscillianism. And now, this movement denied the humanness of a God, as seen in Christ. It was a Gnostic belief. It kind of cast away the idea that God came in the human flesh. So in response, this is really interesting. In response to this heresy, the council called upon the churches, this is around 380 AD, called upon the churches to make Christmas and the weeks preceding a more significant part of the church year. So what better way to answer a heretical teaching denying the humanness of Christ than kind of doubling down on what it means that God came in the flesh? Okay, so these are some of the origins of where we get our Advent and Christmas holidays, and I think it's important to understand the history there. Now, after all, the Christ event is truly one of the most important cornerstones of our faith, is it not? It invites us to marvel at the mystery of Jesus, the Messiah, as foretold in the scriptures 700, 800, 900 years before he even came, coming to us as our Messiah, as a human, to address our deepest needs, to die the death that we all deserve, and to be raised again in glory. This is a mystery, and we want to set aside time to ponder and to dwell and to wonder at this mystery. We want this time and understanding of the mystery of Jesus Christ coming in human flesh. We want this to transform us inside and out. Not just to observe a holiday, not just to read some good books and have some good parties, but to be transformed in and out. So this season, traditionally, since about the 4th century, so I'm not making this stuff up, this is a season marked by quietness, stillness, waiting, of introspection and pondering. Liturgist Jonathan Gibson, in his Liturgical Guide for Advent, he's written a couple others, but in his Liturgical Guide for Advent called O Come Emmanuel, wonderful resource, he says this: we are a waiting people. As early as Eden, God's people have been waiting. We are a waiting people. As early as Eden, God's people have been a waiting people. Following the fall of our first parents, God made a promise that permanently oriented his people toward the future. So as modern Christians, as we wait for the future of Jesus coming, while resting upon the promises that Gibson tells us in this quote, resting upon the promises of his first coming, we acknowledge during Advent two levels of the first Advent and of the coming second Advent. And we enter into the stories of those biblical figures and characters that were waiting for the first Advent and waiting for the promises of God. Noah waited for the promise of rain. Abraham waited for the promise of a son and a new nation. Joseph waited for rescue from the pit, from the prison cell, waited for the salvation of his family. Moses waited for the promised land. Ruth and Naomi waited for a new and reestablished family line. Simeon and Anna, bringing us to the Advent season, Simeon and Anna waited for the promised Savior, the Messiah Jesus. All of these people were people in waiting because they had been promised from God. We also wait in the present while standing on these promises that have already been fulfilled. For when we wait for the promises of Jesus' second coming, so we are people that wait for the second Advent in light of the first Advent. Some of you know the name, the writer and monk, Henry Nouwen. He said this about waiting. He said, people who have received a promise are called to wait. And just like Jesus' mother Mary, who said, quote, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said. We, as Christians, choose to be used by God, to be shaped by God, to be transformed by God in our waiting, in light of all of the promises of God that are and are to come. So, friends, the purpose of liturgy this season is not to be another ritual or tradition. Don't let it become that. The purpose is for our spiritual transformation through the intentionality and practice of waiting and meditating on the incarnation, what it means that Jesus came, and rehearsing these promises in the Christ story. That is the purpose. Now, let me remind us that this is to be in addition to, not to the exclusion of, but in addition to our daily pilgrim work of reading the scriptures, praying, assembling with other believers, discipleship, etc. So, expect, for some of you, more than others, I include myself here, expect that entering this season of Advent with purpose, expect that it's going to be difficult. It will very likely grate on the proclivities of our hearts and kind of the American patterns of consumerism that it's hard to shut out with media. It will likely grate against these patterns of consumerism that cause us to crash and burn, limping into New Year's. We don't want Christmas to be like that for us. In this season, the Christ child coming to us can be lost easily like he was in the 4th century with the distraction of pagan culture and heretical teachings. But in the modern days, he can be very much easily lost by the demands of consumerism and busyness in our culture. So what if we as Christians lived counterculturally? What if we lived differently this Advent season? What if we were seeking to be transformed in this season and not just warmed by traditional music and parties and fun? I'm all about parties and fun. Those of you who know me know I'm all about parties and fun, okay? So I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying don't buy gifts. I'm not saying don't get your Christmas tree set up after Thanksgiving. I'm on social media. I see you, okay? It's okay. It's fine. I love you, okay? I'm not saying don't listen to Christmas music before December 1st. I mean, maybe I am, but anyway, that's kind of an inside joke for those of you who know me. Okay, I'm not saying be dogmatic. Okay, I'm not saying you're wrong for doing those things. For those of you who know me, again, know I love this season and all of its smells and bells and festivities. But for all you, hear this out of love, for all of you who love Christmas the way I do, the best thing we can do is wait for it. Is wait. So, let me offer us two ways this morning, just two ways, there are many ways, two ways that waiting in this season of Advent, purposeful, intentional waiting in this season of Advent can be spiritually transforming for our hearts. Because that's what we want. First is that waiting helps us engage head on with our suffering. Waiting helps us engage head on with our suffering. And two, waiting helps us renew our hope and what it means to have hope. So the first one, waiting helps us engage with our suffering. We have been spending quite a bit of time and focus the last month or so on the topic of suffering. Some of you went to the Terror Talks last Sunday. It was an incredible time to be with one another and to talk through what it means to suffer. And I think that providentially, we're taking all of that information and understanding of what it means to be suffering people, okay? I think providentially, we're entering into a season where we can, if we will, intentionally become more acutely aware of our suffering and our waiting. Waiting causes us to long for what it is that we are waiting for. And often, we are waiting for the relief from suffering. In waiting, we can come to understand our suffering as we dwell in the reality of it, and we wait to see a change, or we wait to see how God is indeed intimately engaged with it for our good. Now, maybe actually, in waiting, it will be revealed that we ought, listen to this carefully, that we ought to be suffering. What I mean by that is we might find areas in our lives where we are caught in sin, where we've grown too accustomed to our flesh. We actually ought to suffer through the death that happens when we suffer for our sin, and we repent and we cast it out. So during Advent, we actually have time, and we make time to intentionally focus on these things. During Advent, we will read in the scriptures about the Old Testament people of God who waited for the promised Messiah to deliver them from their suffering, whether it was from exile, whether it was from occupation, or whether it was just from personal sin. They waited for a deliverer. From the first pages of the Bible, God's people have been waiting for the serpent's head to be crushed, for the enemy to be crushed. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words 700 years before Christ's birth. By the way, Isaiah is a great book to jump into during Advent. It's a great, great, great place to go. Isaiah 42 says this, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Jumping down to verse 6. "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison of those who sit in darkness." We can engage with the Israelites through these scriptures and other scriptures and see our current suffering through the lens of these people who waited in suffering for hundreds and hundreds of years for the promised Messiah, the Savior of the nations, who came to deliver us. And as we meditate on the truths, we will see that Jesus, kind of the cornerstone in understanding of the season, that Jesus came into our suffering and became one that suffers alongside of us. Isaiah, another scripture from Isaiah 53:3 says, "He was a man despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief." The incarnation gives us the promise that Jesus knows and sees and understands and has lived what you and I are dealing with in our suffering. And he bore those sufferings on the cross, and he died for us so that despite any change in our circumstances, we today can have forgiveness, salvation, and new life. And Jesus promises to come back again so that one day he will truly wipe away every tear from everyone's eyes, and he will make everything right again. Now, in the meantime, he gives us his presence through the Holy Spirit, who ministers to us in our sorrow, in our grief, in our suffering. So have faith, church. Have faith this season that as we intentionally make space to dwell in our waiting and our suffering, that there actually will be more room made in your heart for the Holy Spirit to minister to you and help you in your suffering. When we create more space for the Holy Spirit, we can hear him better. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words." So even in the silence and the meditation and the deep longing of this season, the Holy Spirit draws near to us, and it even speaks on our behalf. That's a powerful understanding. And that when we intentionally enter this space, we will have help, we will have comfort, we will have an advocate. So in this season of Advent, in the season of waiting, we can be spiritually transformed through dwelling and understanding our suffering head on. Second way is that while we wait, It helps us renew our hope. You'll be hearing a sermon next week, our first Sunday of Advent, in hope. In waiting, we come to grips with the objects of our hope. And we have to really quickly break our modern idea of the word hope, okay? The way we use the word is, I hope that it will snow on Christmas. I hope I have enough gas to get to the gas station before I run out. I hope the Bills make the postseason. I hope the more serious ones, I hope my marriage improves. I hope that I will be healthy again. But all of these objects, whether it's weather or materials or sports teams or even relationships and health, they are not fully dependable objects of our hope. Making them objects of our truest hope will just lead us to either disappointment or momentary elation if the Bills make the postseason. But only for the moment, okay? And as we intentionally wait this season, we find that there is actually so much that we hope in that we ought not to hope in truly. And when we get disappointed in those things, when we actually take time to wait and think about those things that we hope in, we actually find that we're disappointed that things let us down. Things, people, places let us down. And this is actually a really good thing. Pastor and writer John Mark Comer says this: what if disappointment is a good thing? What if disappointment is an emotional signal from our body that our hope was set on the wrong object? After all, hope must have an object. It must have something or someone to attach itself to. What if disappointment comes with a gentle invitation from the Spirit to recenter our heart's desire? This is beautiful, right? So if we dwell in this season on the scriptures and the themes of the Advent season, we will see that Jesus is the better hope. Because in him, we can have true and lasting life. We actually have hope that is for sure. Hope in a biblical sense, when we hear the word hope, means the plane tickets are purchased, the condo in Hawaii is booked, we are going next month. It is for sure. That would be great, wouldn't it? Maybe some of you are doing that next month. I don't know. But that's hope. Like, I hope for my vacation that's already set. Okay? That's a biblical hope. We hope for Jesus' return, not, I really hope Jesus comes back. He's coming. Amen? We have hope. True hope. Now remember, we have both the Old Testament and the New Testament to see promises of God fulfilled time and time and time again. And that helps us as we wait. As we wait in the dark and the cold of this season, it's getting cold out, and we embrace some of the stillness of the season. We're going to have to actually make some of that stillness happen. It's a very busy season culturally. When we wrestle with our disappointments, we wrestle with the objects where our hope is lying, we can be transformed into placing more of our hope, true hope, more of our security, more of our love in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That is why we celebrate this season. As we are transformed to being people who find our true hope in our suffering and our true hope through the promises of Jesus, our faith grows. Our confidence in him grows. Our desire for him grows. And not to be cliche, but I'm going to, we can be reminded this season that Jesus can be our truest and greatest gift. Now, there are many other results of intentional waiting, but those are just two things to keep at the top of your brain as you wait with intentionality and purpose. Enter into your suffering. Enter into those scary places, knowing that the Holy Spirit will meet you there. And enter into your disappointments, the things that have let you down, and renew your hope in the life and the work of Jesus Christ in your hearts. So I want to turn the corner now and give us some practical things as a church family living this season throughout the year. As you are pastor. I want to help kind of give us a little bit of structure. Okay? And this is an invitation, friends. This is not a directive. This is an invitation to enter into Advent differently this year. Some of you probably do many of these things. But I want to give us some tools to help us so that it can be a season for spiritual transformation. So the season of Advent will begin next Sunday and go the four Sundays until Christmas. Now this year is an anomaly because the fourth Sunday of Advent is actually Christmas Eve. So it's a shorter period of time, but next year that will change. Okay, but the principle is the same. We prepare and we wait for the birth of Jesus through selected scriptures, through selected songs, through atmosphere, through implementing different habits and spiritual disciplines. We'll talk about some of those. But primarily, we are people of the Bible as a church. We want to be informed and guided by the scriptures. And so we will be reading this season scriptures either every day for you at home or every week. And these scriptures don't need to come from a specific place. As I mentioned, Isaiah is a great place to start. These are scriptures in this season that talk about waiting for the Messiah, the people of God in waiting. Now, if you don't want to curate a list of readings, there's many different resources. Really easy to go to would be the Revised Common Lectionary. Now, a lectionary is a fancy word. All it means is a group of readings that the church has been using since around the 4th century. So again, this isn't something that somebody made up just recently. And the lectionary is there to ground people in whichever particular church season they happen to be in. There's a gospel reading, an Old Testament reading, an epistle reading, and a psalm. So it works us through. And there's also a daily lectionary that would denote daily readings. The lectionary is for Sundays. And you can, I have a link. I'm going to send everybody an email after I'm done preaching here and after worship. I'm going to send the church an email with some resources. If you're not on our email list, our regular members and attenders list, just talk to me afterward and I can get this to you. I'll send you a link to the Revised Common Lectionary. It's on the website. It's pretty easy to Google, and you can find the different readings for each Sunday of Advent. In addition to the scriptures, we are a worshiping people through song, okay? In this season, you will notice we are not singing Joy to the World, Hark the Herald, and O Holy Night, not yet. At least we are in the season of Advent, and there is a wonderful canon of Advent hymns that help prepare our hearts for Jesus coming. So, like, hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. You all know, O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long expected Jesus. O come, divine Messiah. These songs will help us purposefully dwell in this season of waiting, and we will be singing many of these songs. We also try to capture the themes of the season with the atmosphere in our sanctuary. Morningstar Howell does a wonderful job at purposefully and intentionally setting our atmosphere to help draw our eyes and our hearts to whichever particular season we are in. You will see the reds and the greens of the Christmas season, but also you will see a progressive decorating process where we progressively work up until Christmas Eve, where everything's going to pop much more and we're going to celebrate our Savior being born to us. So through scriptures, songs, atmosphere, we're going to enter into this season. Now at home, not just here on a Sunday, but we encourage you to structure your spiritual disciplines and your traditions appropriately. Again, this is an invitation, not a directive. I'll probably get some smiles here, some things that I'm going to say. But again, this is a suggestion. This is an invitation. So I suggest that we delay, to some degree, our decorating in our homes. Scrooge. No, I'm not a Scrooge, okay? Might I suggest we delay, to some degree, our decorating and our consumption of Christmas media? Make it a progressive activity. Add something more each week, or be crazy and wait till Christmas Eve and do it all. I think we did that once, and Lisa's shaking her head. She's like, no, it's not going to happen. Not with kids. But there's actually, there's ways to help us kind of delay that gratification little by little, and it's actually really great for kids. It can help them understand what it means to wait, and Christmas time, trust me, will be that much sweeter. Okay, there are things like getting an Advent wreath. This is easy. Some of us are aware of what this is. It's a circle usually, and there's four candles. We're going to be lighting them up here each Sunday in Advent. And make this an event for the family. Turn off the lights. Make hot chocolate, whatever you like to do. Light a candle. Read some scriptures from the lectionary. Sing a hymn together. It can be very simple. It can be a 10-minute or a two-hour event. It can be very simple. But you see those lights progressively getting brighter until we get the fifth candle, the Christ candle on Christmas. I will also be, for your help, and for hopefully to be a blessing to you, will be writing a weekly Advent blog, which will kind of have some thoughts from your Pastor Matt, and also some scriptures from the lectionary, a hymn or two. If you'd like to utilize this on Sundays or during the week, go for it. It's yours. I hope that it can be a service to you. Now, here's another idea. This is a little bit more controversial, but get your tree whenever, okay? But wait to decorate it either till Christmas Eve. That's really fun, actually. And that's doable. As a guy with three kids, it is doable. Or decorate it progressively, a little bit each, like once a week. Say, this is our tree decorating night. Let's do a little bit. And it really helps kids to understand the idea of waiting. Win-win. But finally, and I'm going to close here because we could keep talking about Christmas because it's a wonderful season, but and the season of Advent. But finally, I want to give you some directives and some helps on how you personally, your spiritual lives, your spiritual transformation, can how that can take place in the season. And again, these are invitations. Here are four things as we close. First one is, take some time this season for silent prayer. And what I mean by that is, don't talk. Don't even say anything in your mind. Be silent before the Lord. Just sit in the silence. You're going to have to carve out time to do this. We live in a very noisy world. Carve out time to sit in silence as you wait this season. So silent prayer. Repentance. Now, the emphasis during Advent isn't like the emphasis during Lent, but there is an emphasis on repentance. We want to be ready for Jesus when he comes. We want our hearts to be pure. We want to be ready. We want to be holy and waiting for our Savior. So take time to find areas of your life where you need to repent and turn back to Jesus. The third one is fasting. Now, this doesn't need to be crazy, okay? Some of you hear that word fasting and you kind of, I understand. Fasting is not, it's not fun. It's very useful. But I will be your pastor, okay? I can't speak for Daniel or Reuben, but for me, I will be trying, again, we try, we do our best, one day a week during Advent, fasting from breakfast and lunch. People think fasting, you need to go like 4 days without eating. No. Go one meal, two meals. Maybe it's just lunch, or maybe you're fasting from media. Maybe you're fasting from spending money. Maybe you're fasting from something else. But take time to set aside something that is usual for you to make more space to have the Holy Spirit dwell in that space and to fill you up. So anything that scratches an itch for you, whether it's food or Instagram, maybe consider intentionally fasting from those things at one point or another during Advent so that you can fill that space and that lack with the presence of Jesus and his Spirit. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We believe that that is true and we believe that he will do that for you. Now finally, this one will be new for me. I'm going to try this year, as wanting to be intentionally transformed this season of Advent is keeping vigil. Now, where are my Navy friends out there? Former or current? There's a bunch of Navy guys out there that I know that know about what it's like to keep watch. Like you have a watch and that's what it is. You're keeping watch. And for most of the guys that I've talked to that are keeping watch, they can't wait for that watch to be done. You're waiting with anticipation for that to be done. Often, we think of keeping watch as, you know, watching the castle being attacked, and you're waiting for the sunlight to come up to show light on things. So the idea, okay, and the intensity of keeping vigil is we are keeping watch, we are waiting. Okay, so in order to engage with this season, let me invite us to find time this season to watch for Jesus' return, to desire for Jesus' return, to actually figuratively and literally wait and plead for his return and his coming, as the Lord's Prayer reminds us of. So here's another idea, and this is something I'm saying in front of all you, so maybe I'll actually do it, but to find time to keep vigil. And so for me this year, this is going to be from 1 to 2 a.m. once a week. So this is only going to happen three times, okay? Once a week from 1 to 2 a.m., wake up in the middle of the night. I love sleeping. Oh, gosh. So this is going to be hard for me. But intentionally taking yourself out of something that's comfortable and waiting and pleading for the Lord could be, I don't know yet, but it could be really transforming. Light a candle and wait on the Lord. Watch for him. Wait for him. Know that he's coming. And we desire for him to come. So, I'm going to invite the band back up. This is a different message this morning. I hope it was encouraging to you. I hope this season will be significant for us. Not that we would just be countercultural, but that we would actually meet Jesus in a different and significant way this season. We all have a golden opportunity to be shaped and transformed and inspired by this season through the reading of scriptures, through repentance, through waiting on the Lord. And I believe that as we are intentional, Jesus in his presence will dwell closer to us, will meet us in those places, and we will find more joy. We will find more depth. We will find more peace, more excitement in Christmas time when it comes, if we are waiting well for the Lord. So as I said, I'll have an email going out later today, I hope, with a list of resources. They're all links and things that you can click on and you can go to. And then starting on the first Sunday of Advent, there'll be an Advent guide for you all. Many of you in this room I know have given me resources and are doing this. Again, this is an invitation. And I desire for all of you to be changed and transformed by knowing Jesus better. Here's one way we can do that. So, I'm excited for the season. Let's pray. Jesus, you came to us as you promised to do, to live a perfect life, to show us the way, to suffer on our behalf, to cleanse us and forgive us from our sins. Would you draw near to us now as we intentionally and purposefully enter a season where we are dwelling on you and waiting on you and understanding deeper what it means that you came to us in the flesh. Holy Spirit, meet us in the places of waiting, meet us in the places of vigil, meet us in the places of repentance, so that we can see Jesus more and love him better. And I pray that you would transform us, not by this culture, but by the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please help us this season, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.